Welcome to the Heartland Worship Center podcast, an audio experience to help you grow in your relationship with God. Visit us at hwcagra.com for more great content.
Well, today, as you can see on the walls, is Missions Sunday, and we have a special treat in store for us this morning. A couple of months back, we had the opportunity of meeting a young man by the name of Zach Bowling, who is the Chi Alpha minister at Kansas. I about said it wrong, Kansas State. I about messed it up, bro, at KU. And when he took the pulpit at Woodston Camp and he began to share his heart, I immediately pulled out my cell phone and I said, "Pastor Sarah," because I had responsibilities on the, I said, "make sure we connect with Zach because I want him to come out to Heartland Worship Center and share with us." His heart that was shared at Woodston Camp was clear, and I believe this young man has been called by God to reach a campus that desperately needs the Lord. Our college campuses need Jesus today. We're kind of halfway there. Listen, those are years where those students' minds are being shaped, philosophies are being driven in. The choices they make in those 4, 5 years, however many long that they might be at school, are lifelong decisions. Amen? We want Christ to be at the center of all of that. Amen? And so this morning, we have the awesome opportunity of being able to hear from missionary Zach Bowling. And would you help me greet him to the stage with a warm welcome from Heartland Worship Center as he comes to bring the word this morning. Zach, come on up here, man.
Good morning. It's good to be here. Just so you guys know, I normally preach on an iPad or something like a little tablet, but my wife
is not doing anything like that. But I have all my notes on my phone this morning. Sorry, my wife couldn't be here this morning. She's in Arkansas today with our 8-month-old daughter. Her grandma just passed away, so she's at a funeral today. She sends her greetings. My name is Zach Bowling. My wife Hannah. We have a 3-year-old son named Elon and an 8-month-old girl named Emerson. We've been married for about 5 years now, and really, it's flown by. But we are the new path directors at the University of Kansas at KU. And truth is, it's something that we were never trying to do.
Ministry was literally one of the last I ever wanted to do in life was any type of ministry. Actually, I would tell you when that was the farthest thing from my mind was ministry. But really, my life was transformed in college when I went to the university, and now the Lord has me there. A little bit about Chi Alpha. There's Chi Alphas all over the country. There's about 300, give or take, nationally on different college campuses. In Kansas, we have. We have them at Kansas. Well, there's one at Wichita State, K-State, KU, and some other smaller schools. But it's an incredible ministry. It just is an incredible ministry. For the last 8 years, I've been living in Arkansas. I'm from Kansas originally. I grew up in Winfield, Kansas, which is just south of Wichita. And my mom is from Scott City, Kansas. She's from, Scott City, Western Kansas. I'll tell you the truth, I'm incredibly excited to be moving back to Kansas. Kansas truly is one of my favorite places. I wish I could really tell you how much I do love Kansas. A lot of people are passionate about places, but I am passionate about not just KU, but more so the state in general. I love Kansas. I don't think there's really a better place you could be. So I'm super excited, and my wife is excited to come. She's from Arkansas, but she's learning to love the lack of hills and stuff. She's from the Ozarks, so it is a change for her. The last 5 years, I've been on staff at the University of Central Arkansas in Conway with Chi Alpha, and we just officially stepped off of campus really in December. We've been doing Kyle for full time there up until December. And then in December, we kind of made the transition back to Kansas. We sold our house and we moved in with my parents because we didn't buy a house soon enough. So we lived with my parents for about 3 months. And then we finally made the transition to Lawrence officially in May. And we've been there since May, and we're getting ready for the school year to start. Just a little bit about Central Arkansas, because that's really the experience I have with Chi Alpha, and that's the ministry I came from. I'll just talk a little bit briefly about that. There's about 12,000 students at Central Arkansas, so it's a mid-major university. It's not a huge, but it's not tiny either. It's a good-sized university. It's really an incredible Chi Alpha, an incredible ministry that's happening there. The Lord is doing incredible things. On a Monday night, that's when the weekly service is. There's about 800 students that come together on a Monday night to worship the Lord. And it's really incredible. And then throughout the week, there's about 150 different small groups that meet. And those are all student-led small groups. And those range from anywhere from 4 students to 25 students. Really, we talk to our student leaders and say, you know, you're not given a small group. You have to go build one. So we're like, okay, you go out on campus, you meet people, and you create a small group. And it really puts, it empowers students to go out and actually make disciples. And you're like, they're entrusted with that, and they go do it. And it's incredible. And then summer missions is another big thing. This last summer, there's close to 150 students that went overseas from Central Arkansas to 12 different countries, some in Asia and then Southern Africa. In Asia, they went to Laos, Vietnam, India, and Sri Lanka. And then in Southern Africa, we went to Mozambique, Zambia, Kenya, South Africa, Lesotho. I think I said Zambia already, but yeah, so missions is a huge part of the ministry as well. And I kind of say all these things, one, just to build expectation of what we want to establish at KU, what the Lord wants to do at KU. There's 32,000 students at KU, and they need to be reached for the gospel. My story, like I said, I grew up in Kansas. I grew up in an incredible family. I grew up going to church every Sunday. My parents are incredible. They really are. But for me, when I was going to church, church was never really something that I was that interested in. I just went because that's kind of what we did. So another thing, I also played soccer my entire life. So my entire life I played soccer. When I finished high school, I had the opportunity to continue playing soccer. So college came around. So yes, I played college soccer, and I played first 2 years at Garden City Community College. I loved Garden City. I really did. I loved Western Kansas. I grew up going to Scott City all the time, so I really enjoyed it out there. But the truth is, at that point, my parents were no longer there making me go to church, so those 2 years of Garden City, I didn't go to church at all. I played soccer, and I partied. That's what I did at Garden City. And the thing is, it's not that I was actively trying to run away from the Lord. I was just more apathetic towards it. It just didn't cross my mind. This is what everybody was doing at Garden City. This is what the soccer players were doing. This is what everybody I hung out was doing. So that's what I did as well. I played soccer and I partied. Really, after I finished Garden City, I had the opportunity to continue playing soccer. I had more scholarship offers. But one thing I did, Garden City was great. I made incredible friends. But after 2 years there, everybody goes all over the country. So my best friends, one went to Canada, Brazil, and another guy went to Chicago. So it's like, I thought about that, and I was like, I don't want to have to do that after 2 years. I don't want to have to restart again. So being from Kansas, I knew a lot of people that went to KU. So I passed on these scholarship offers, and I went to the University of Kansas. And the truth is, day one, I was at KU. I told myself, I said, you made a mistake. I didn't say it out loud, but I was on campus. I was like, you made a mistake. You should have played soccer. But being 21 years old at this point, I didn't let anybody know that because I was right. I couldn't let people know that I was wrong in my decision. So that year, I went to KU, and I wasn't playing soccer, so I partied. And that's what I did at KU. And the thing is, that wasn't uncommon. That was the norm at KU, was to party. I was not the minority by any means. And that's how my year at KU went. And it was late on in the second semester, I finally vocalized out loud that I made a mistake by going to KU. I said it out loud to myself. I said, "Zach, you made a mistake." So what I did was, I walked out of one of my classes, and I called the coach at the University of Central Arkansas, because that was one of the places that I had a scholarship offer. I said, "Hey, coach, is there any," basically I begged, but I said, "Hey, is there any way you'd take me back in the fall if I could play soccer in the fall?" And he said, "Yes, if you come here in the fall, there's a spot for you on the team." So that was late on in the second semester. So basically at that point, I had made up my mind I was going to move to Arkansas for nothing more. I didn't care about a degree. I just wanted to play soccer. I didn't go to college because I wanted a certain degree. I got a health education degree because at one point they made me choose. They made me pick one. My wife got a math degree, so we were complete opposite ends of the spectrum. But really, I went to Arkansas to play soccer. That was my only motivating factor, was soccer. I had 2 years of eligibility, so that's what I was going to do. I moved down to Conway, Arkansas, early August. It was probably very similar to this time. I got there for preseason. And really, my truck was still loaded up with all my stuff. But I was going. I just wanted to say hi to the coaches, just check in. So I went to the soccer house where their offices were, and I walked around. I didn't see anybody in there. Went to the locker room, and there was a guy working. Working on the locker room floor, and I'd never met this guy before. I didn't know who he was, but he looked the part of a soccer player. So I said, "Okay, this must be an assistant coach that I haven't met." So I said hi, and he introduces himself, and he says, "Yeah, I'm a campus pastor with a ministry called Chi Alpha." And he did a small group for the soccer team. I didn't know what campus ministry was. I'd never heard of campus ministry. I was never involved in a small group. So he tells me this, and I'm like, okay, but you got to be a soccer coach. You got to be involved somehow. Why are you here? So basically for the next 45 minutes, I just was in there just hanging out, talking. And that changed my life. I went to Arkansas, I thought, to play soccer, but literally the first person I met was this campus pastor. Before I met anybody on the team, before I met anybody in the state, that's the first person I met. And it changed the direction of my life. I started going to this thing called Chi Alpha. And again, I didn't know what it was. I was fraternity, sorority, I don't know. But I went mainly out of respect for this guy that I met, you know. But for the first time in my life, I saw young people, or I saw college-age students actually following the Lord. Like, they were in worship, they were worshiping, and they meant it, and, like, their lives looked tangibly different than the people I've been around, and it intrigued me. Like, it just, I said to myself, there's something here. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm intrigued. And it was the first time I'd ever seen college students actually live something. Their lives look different. I'd heard a lot of people claim Christianity. I heard a lot of college students say, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." I would have said I was a Christian, but my life or anybody else's life never looked different. So that year, I got plugged in with Chi Alpha. I got plugged in with this D group, and really, it was just a roller coaster for me. It was lots of this. I was going to Chi Alpha, I was going to D group, and on the weekends I was still partying, you know, and I was just doing both. I was never told, you have to stop. You have to stop this, Zach. You can't do these things. I was just told, hey, come be a part of this thing. And so eventually over time, it's like you're doing the split. You're walking two different directions, and you have to make a decision. And really, it was that the year went on. It was, again, second semester, and missions are a huge part of the Chi Alpha Central Arkansas. And every year, again, we go on missions, and his name is Matt Carpenter, but we call him Carp. So I'll say Carp, that way you guys know what I'm talking about. But Carp, he said, hey, Zach, there's a couple spots left on project if you want to go. And I'd never been on a mission trip in my life. I have no desire to ever go on a mission trip. Growing up, my sister went on some, and I always said, have fun. I'm not doing anything like that. So for me, like, he just posed a question, and I said, yeah, let's go. I didn't know. I said, yeah, I want to go. And I said, if I'm going to follow after Jesus, I actually want to do this thing. I don't want to just dip my toes in the water. I want to go swimming. That's what I said. And I was like, let's go. So that summer, I went to Zambia for a month. I went to the western province of Zambia in southern Africa. And again, that trip changed my life. It changed my life dramatically. It's amazing what the Lord can do in a month when we get rid of all the distractions we have, when we get rid of the cell phones, when we get rid of the TV, when we get rid of media. We can actually hear the Lord. He speaks to us if we'll listen, if we'll get rid of the distractions. And that month, it's like the Lord can do more in a month than he can do in an entire school year when we listen. And I came back from that just changed. I knew I wanted to go back. I knew I wanted to do something. So my life was just changed during that. And I truly believe that the campus is the most strategic mission field in the world. I really do. You have people coming from all over in a very influential time in their life, and they're all looking to better themselves. They all want to make something of themselves. And like I said, at KU, there's 32,000 students. And I've come to learn that my entire time at KU, I never once heard of a ministry. I never saw the presence of a ministry on campus. I was never invited to a campus ministry of any kind. And I know why now, because total, there's about 600 students involved in campus ministry at KU. 600 total out of 32,000. Really, the truth is I didn't have a chance at KU. I didn't stand a chance there. So I think that's 98.5% of the student body is considered would be unreached. And if you know anything about Lawrence, if you know anything about KU, it's extremely liberal, and it's almost, it's really anti-God. They're going the complete opposite direction. It's a completely unreached people group in this state. It's unlike any other place in this state. So how do you reach the campus? How do you reach the world? How do you reach the nations? It's actually, I don't want to say simple, but it's laid out very plainly in Scripture. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be able to teach others. That's a picture of discipleship. It's generational discipleship. You have Paul speaking to Timothy, who says, find reliable men or faithful men, depends on what version, and then who will teach others. That's generational discipleship. And that's how you reach the campus. That's how you reach the world, is through discipleship. It was set in motion a long time ago by a guy named Jesus. He started this thing called discipleship. He had these disciples that followed him, and he taught them things. And, you know, they actually changed the course of history. They changed the world. The method is still the same. The method to reach the world is still the same. It hasn't changed. I think a lot of times we try to put all these new programs, these new plans, these new implementations into how do we reach people. But the truth is, how do you reach people? It's the same way it was done then. It's discipleship. It's one-on-one discipleship. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. It's been done by Jesus. I'm no better than Jesus, so I'm not going to try anything that Jesus didn't try. It's the tried and true method. It's the only method. Everything that we do is based on discipleship. Everything has to be generational discipleship. The truth is, if it's not generational, it's not discipleship. If the person I'm discipling doesn't go out and disciple somebody, then he doesn't go out and disciple somebody. He doesn't go out and disciple somebody. Then discipleship doesn't take place. It stops. everybody in this room is in here because of discipleship, and that everyone is in this room because you could trace their spiritual family tree back to one of the 11 disciples. Discipleship works if we take up the call, if you take up the responsibility and you disciple. We are calling students to make disciples, not disciples of themselves, but disciples of Christ. That's the only way to do it. Like I said, there's a lot of different methods going around, and I think one way we see it going oftentimes today is, it's not discipleship, we'll just say for super evangelists, we'll just call it the super evangelist. Like, we'll just, this guy, he has an incredible, he has an incredible ministry. He goes around the country in like huge gatherings at his services. Every night, we'll just say 1,000 people get saved at this guy's services every night. Brings in giant crowds. Every night, 1,000 people get saved. I think all of us in here would agree that is an incredible ministry. This guy preaches and 1,000 people come to know the Lord. That is incredible. So there's that method where it's bring the people in, preach, get them saved, send them out. And then there's another method, which is discipleship, which is Jesus, which is he takes these guys and he takes 11 and he invests into them. And then he says, okay, now you go and make more. You go invest and make disciples. So we'll say the super evangelist, every single night he preaches and 1,000 people get saved. In 1 year, he'd have 365,000 people get saved in 1 year. He doesn't. He's super evangelist. He doesn't take a night off. He's incredible. I couldn't do it, but that's what he does. Then we'll look at the next model, discipleship. In 1 year, 11 people, Jesus invested in 11 people. In 1 year, he has 11 guys, and he says, go out and make disciples. If you can see the chart, you'll see the numbers. They change dramatically over time. But year two, discipleship, or the super evangelist, it says 730,000 people from this guy. 2 years, 730,000 people. 2 years of discipleship, 121 people, because those 11 go and make more 11, make each of those 11 find 11. Year three, super evangelist, 1,095,000. Year three, discipleship, 1,300. Year four, evangelist, 1.4 million. Year four, discipleship, 14,000, went up from 1,000 to 14,000. Year five, super evangelist, 1.8 million. Discipleship, 161,000. Year five, super evangelist is still destroying discipleship. Still has, outweighs it greatly. Year six, super evangelist, 2.19 million. Year six for discipleship, 1.7 million. Year seven for super evangelist, 2.5 million. Year seven for discipleship has 19 million people. By year seven, discipleship has now surpassed the super evangelist, and it hasn't just, it's ran past it, it has jumped past it to 19 million. We'll just skip to year nine. Year nine, super evangelist, 3.2 million. Discipleship, 2.3 billion. Year 10, 3.65 million. Discipleship, 26 billion by year 10. If disciples go and make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. It is possible that everyone on earth can hear the name of Jesus in our lifetime. But it takes discipleship and it takes people investing and it takes work. The thing is, the truth is, the opposite is true as well. If people don't go and make disciples, then this actually all falls apart. And you don't get 26 billion people by year 10. You don't get anywhere close to that because the way exponents work, things get, when they get exponential, they grow very quickly. But if we don't disciple, then it doesn't do that as well. It stops. People, everybody on the planet can hear the name of Jesus, but it takes discipleship. That is the method that Jesus laid out in front of us. There is no other way. It is the way. And it's not a fancy thing. It's just, this. It is what it is. It's discipleship. And the truth is, that's all I've ever been a part of at Central Arkansas. That's the only thing we've ever seen. We've ever seen is just, no, just go make disciples. Go start a small group. Go. And a lot of times students fail. they fall on their face. And the truth is, that's not a bad thing. The only thing that's bad if they don't try it again. Failure's not a bad thing. So what are we going to do at KU? We're going to make disciples. We're telling our staff, hey, this entire first year, we're not planning a service. We're not planning anything big. We're just saying we need to start small groups. Everybody on staff, start a small group. And if we can get a, if we, you can have a D group of 5 to 10 people, 3 to 8 people, that's incredible. We just want to invest into those students, and then hopefully they will, we'll put the call in front of them. Now you go invest into more students. And the thing is, it starts small. Year one, it doesn't look like much. Year two, you know, it starts to gain a little bit of traction. And then, but the thing is that what we've seen at Central, it just, it explodes. It explodes. When discipleship takes root, it explodes. It's incredible to see. Thing is, Jesus wasn't interested in just drawing a crowd. He didn't care about crowds. He, even with us at KU, we're not interested in just drawing a crowd. The easiest thing we could do at KU would be to draw a crowd, would be to bring a bunch of people in, have a gospel message, and send them out. Like that, I'm telling you, we could easily get a group of 500 students together on KU. All I need to do is get a bunch, order pizza, and say, hey, come. They will come. I'll get Little Caesars. They will come, and I'll give a gospel presentation 5 minutes afterwards. And you know what? I can pat myself on the back and tell myself, look at that. Did you see what we did there? See all those people we just talked to? You know, and I'm not saying good things don't come from that, but the truth is lasting fruit. It's hard to see lasting fruit from things like that. Jesus wasn't interested in that either. You know, at one point, I think he had around 5,000 together. You know, he had this giant crowd. He just fed 5,000. And his disciples are looking at like saying, Jesus, this is great. Look at these people. And you know, Jesus didn't really want any of it. He's like, he knew what their motives were. He knew why they were there. John 6:53 says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and you drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is the true food, and my blood is the true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Jesus has a huge crowd, and he starts talking crazy. That's what it is. And even his disciples, the guys closest to him are like, Jesus, that's tough. What you're saying is, it's crazy talk. So what happens? The people disperse. The thing is, Jesus wasn't interested in a crowd. He didn't care about crowds. He wanted to raise up an army. The thing is, when things get difficult for a crowd, they disperse. They're like, no, that's not what I signed up for. But when things get difficult for an army, they say, no, this is actually what I signed up for. This is what I want to do. And they flex, and they're ready for it. We're not interested in crowds. We're interested in armies. We're going to KU to raise up an army. That is what we're trying to do. That is what we will do. That is what God's will. He wants to raise up an army. The thing is, when people know what they're getting themselves into right away, they're a lot more, when things are difficult, that they don't turn away. They're like, no, this is what you told me it was. You never said it was going to be easy. You know, actually following after Jesus is the most difficult thing you're ever going to do. You know, if we're doing it, it is the most difficult thing you will ever do, but it also is the most fulfilling thing you will ever do. There is no greater call. There is no greater purpose in life than to make disciples of Christ. Jesus was constantly sifting people to check their motives. Like, so even in it, we're always challenging students. Like, no, this is what the word says. This is it. This is what we signed up for. And the thing is, when you do that, people are so much more ready and so much more willing. There is no greater call than to make disciples, missionary or the marketplace. We have all been called. Matthew 28:18 says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. There's a standing call on all of our lives is to make disciples. This isn't something that you get to say, no, that's not for me, because there is a standing call on everybody's life to make disciples. It doesn't matter if you're a vocational missionary or not. You're called to make missionaries wherever you go. That's what we're going to do at KU, whether that be in the marketplace or in the world. It's what we've been a part of. It's an incredible thing to do. Our goal is to, we want to establish KU's, or not KU's, I don't care about KU, honestly. I just want to get there to make disciples. We want to set up, we want to plant more Chi Alphas across other campuses. We want to set one up at Fort Hays State. They need a Chi Alpha. We want to put one at Emporia State. We want it to, why? Because those places need discipleship. They need the Lord really just to blow up on the campus there. Like, there's no reason why Fort Hays State should not blow up for the Lord, like with through discipleship. I'm telling you, like, that place, it's Hays. The Lord wants to do it. And we just want to raise up missionaries who will go. That's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to do anything fancy. At KU, we're just trying to raise up missionaries, make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And we're incredibly excited to get to do that this August. Like, in just a couple of weeks, there's about 32,000 students are going to roll up at KU. And Lord willing, we'll be able to make a few disciples this year. We're incredibly excited. We have four other people coming to KU with us. There's me and my wife, and then four other people coming from Arkansas to help really just start Chi Alpha there. And really, so if you could, just pray for KU. It needs it. I'm telling, like, we need your prayers. We need, like, the Lord just to move there. I feel like he is paving the way, and he's doing things. But just continue just to keep KU in your prayers. And just if you could, just pray for our team as well. Yeah, because we have, I think, five of the people who come, and they're from Arkansas. They've never left Arkansas, and they're coming to KU. I know what I'm getting myself into a little bit, but just if you could just continue just praying for our team, and pray for KU, and yeah. And before I go, I just want to challenge everybody in here as well, just to take up the call, and if you can't disciple 11, disciple one. Look for one person that you can invest in. Look just for one. One person that you can disciple, that you can really just invest into, and just, yeah, if you can't do 11, do one. Yeah, so thank you so much.